It's time for the radio show about recreational boating, from the bow to the stern, from port to starboard, and from the bridge to the bilge. It's Bob's No Wake Zone radio show. So let's go down on the docks and see what's happening this week.
Good morning. Welcome in to Bob's No Wake Zone boating radio show on this Saturday morning. Well, our hearts are heavy, and we are certainly sending out prayers to the families of Garth Tagg and Jim Melly, who died in a boating accident last weekend at the Potomac River Radar Run out in Fairview Beach, Virginia, in their skater, a 36-foot catamaran skater. I was looking back at some of the other power boaters that we've lost just recently. Rich Prince, Brad Dunphy here at Lake of the Ozarks back on August 26th. Mike Fiore, of course, back at Shootout in 2014. And then Bob Morgan and Jeff Tillman back at Key West, November 2011. This sport, these drivers and these operators and owners know it's a dangerous sport. They participate in it because they want to. They love it. But there's also got to be some conversation. In fact, I think there's already some conversation started about what can we do to cut down on the accidents and the deaths. And I know we will be talking more about it as we go forward. I'd like to do just a moment of silence for the families and to RIP Garth and Jim. Thank you. Well, coming up on our program today, we're going to talk about IBEX. We have Kevin Ritz, who is the lead instructor for the American Boat and Yacht Council, going to be on board with us first to talk about some things that he's been teaching, and we caught up with him at IBEX. We're also going to hear from three representatives on three different products and various products, I guess you could say, Caframo, Quick USA, and Lily Pads. The diving boards, we're going to talk about them coming up in our second section today. And then our last two segments today, we were anticipating a conversation. I think we might still be getting her on, but Anna Townsend from Dock Expo, she's the editor of Marina Dock Age magazine. We'll see if we're going to be able to squeeze her in. If not, we'll move Anna to next week. I know she said she was very busy, so we're hoping we can keep her on the phone here. But we do have Pete McDonald, who is the second in charge at Boating Magazine. They're celebrating 60 years of publication, and Pete wrote a great article, and we're going to be talking about some of the great boating inventions over the last 60 years with Pete McDonald coming up a little bit later in our program today. And also want to send out a shout to our good friend overseas in the UK, Mike McDowell, who has put together BoatRadio.net. Congratulations on 40,000 downloads of programs from that particular website, BoatRadio.net, and you will find our program there coming up every Saturday night at 6 o'clock. If you are in need of a boat lift, let me direct you to Hydrohoist Boat Lifts, the folks here at Lynn Creek in Lake of the Ozarks, but they also have other locations around the country and around the world. We're going to talk about the Missouri Distribution Center, which is right here at Lynn Creek, the Oklahoma Distribution Center at Bernice, Oklahoma at Grand Lake, the Tennessee Distribution Center at Baxter, Tennessee, and down in Texas, a couple of locations, one in Pottsboro, Texas, and another one in Austin. Plus, you know, the guys at Hydrohoist are international in nature. They've got two locations in Canada, one in Denmark, Sweden, Finland, and New Zealand. So no matter where you might be listening to the program, you can find out about the Hydrohoist boat lifts for over 50 years. Their quality has been trusted. And, of course, they're made right here in the United States in Claremore, Oklahoma. The boat lifts from Hydrohoist, or the PWC lifts as well. In our area, get a hold of Joanne Clark, 573-346-7505. For more information about all of it, go to boatlift.com. Kevin Ritz is with us on Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show again. Kevin, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, sir.
So you do, during IBEX, you do a series of seminars and classes. under ABYC, which, tell me your title there.
Well, my title is, I'm the lead instructor for the American Boat and Yacht Council, so I am in charge of all of our instructors. And what that really means is I end up teaching majority of the classes. So at least I teach the electrical, the corrosion, and the systems at this time. We have instructors that do the diesel and gasoline, and of course we also have composites, accident investigation, and standards. So we do a lot, and it's all based around ABYC standards, of course.
You were sort of the leader in getting electric shock drowning to the forefront, and since then there's been some new products that have come on the market. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of the Shock Alert. It's a brand new one, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all good. Is there something that you recommend to personal dock owners, particularly in non-saltwater atmospheres? What are some of the things that they should be doing on a regular basis to protect themselves and anyone on their docks?
I would say let's start out with the very best thing that someone can do to protect their own dock is having ground fault protection on the feeder that feeds power down to their private dock. Okay, I'm not talking about GFCIs on the dock. I'm talking about GFCI protection at the actual breaker box where that feeds down to the dock. And you know, personally, I'd much rather see people spend money on something like that. Where these devices you're talking about, that, you know, what I call electric alerts. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them coming, more coming all the time. Anything that we can get out there that's going to give us information is great. My concern, though, for these things, and is that they're used as a green light to say, hey, it says it's safe. There's no electricity in the water. I can jump in and go swimming. My stance on this, and it's a hard one, I'm sorry, is let's not swim around electricity. You know, and if we can do that, that's going to be people fall in all the time. And so how can we, you know, and the dock alerts are great in that they're going to tell you that there's something, but I want to have something that shuts the power off if a fault occurs, right? Before something happens. Because you got to think about this. Let's say you're in the water and you got one of these dock alerts there and you're swimming along and having a great time splashing around, and all of a sudden a pump turns on, a hot water heater on a boat, a battery charger, any one of these things, and it squawks. But it's too late for you because you're in the water already. So I have concerns that they'll be used like that. But anything that can bring awareness to this issue, anything that can give us more information, that can educate us, let's do it.
All right.
That's great.
I notice here on the table we're inside is this a 540 Sea-Ray?
It is, yes. Brand new one, 2017 actually.
Is that right? Well, yeah. That's nice digs for you. Beautiful new boat, of course, from Sea-Ray. I notice here on the table you've got some shore power cords, connectors, and things. What are you illustrating with these?
Well, we've got is what we call split cords, and I've been training both on corrosion earlier today and then this afternoon, electrical techniques for testing for like electric in the water. With these type of cords, we can actually put a clamp meter around, we can measure how much current is leaking into the water, and I've been teaching on the techniques to do this. So we get our marine surveyors, our technicians, our law enforcement, first responders, all these folks up on this type of work so they can get out there and do their own kind of testing and prevent these things from happening before they happen, obviously.
When you're teaching the teachers that are being, you know, instructors and going out and teaching these across the country or whatever, what are one of the top couple of questions that invariably come up from some of these guys?
I would say, how far away can I be from a dock and be safe? That's one of the questions we get, you know, and that's a really hard, you know, really hard thing because there's so many variables, mm-hmm. so many variables, right? So what I get people say, well, how far away from electricity is it safe to swim? And I, you know, I'm not going to put an exact number on that, right? As soon as I put an exact number, but you know, based on all the data that we've collected all these years, all the many cases that I've investigated or been involved with, and I know the data on them, you know, I feel fairly comfortable. There could be exceptions to this, but I feel fairly comfortable at 50 yards. Okay, if someone is 50 yards away from a dock that has power, you know, then I think it's safe to go swimming.
50 yards, that's half a football field?
Probably somewhere around that, you know. And so, but there's so many variables involved here. It's really hard to put a number on there like that. But I feel like that's reasonable. We used to say 100 yards, but we went back and looked at all the data that we have collected all these years, and how close the victim was to the source of power and stuff like that. And you know, generally speaking, I'm feeling pretty good with that.
Okay. All right. Anyone more want more information? How they get a hold of ABYC?
You can call ABYC, and you can go to the webpage. There's even on the ABYC webpage, we even have a consumer side, you know, for actual boaters rather than just industry. And you want me to give the number?
Yeah.
Okay. American Boat Yacht Council is 410-990-4460.
Kevin, sure, thank you very much again. Great talking to you. Good seeing you. Coming up next, we're going to go back to IBEX for three companies to tell us about their products. As Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show sits in the No Wake Zone this morning, thinking about our losses. Stick with us on News Talk KRMS, 1150 AM, 97.5, 104.9, and on the live streaming audio at krmsradio.com.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.
Lily Pads, Quick USA, and Caframo. We've got some great products to talk about from 2016 IBEX. We'll have some interviews coming up for you next on our program. The program is Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show. We thank you for being with us this morning. You know, the folks at Paradise Upholstery and Canvas do great work all around Lake of the Ozarks. Now, they do have some restrictions as far as their boat shop is concerned. They have a boat they take out that's fully equipped and ready to go, help make those last, kind of the detailed decisions on maybe the snap should go here instead of there. Let's move that zipper over there just a little bit to make it fit better. But they cover the lake area pretty well. Boat covers, custom interiors, interior restoration, biminis, and enclosures. Watch for them around the lake. You'll see them in their Paradise boat. Also on their Paradise trucks, you'll see them. ParadiseUpholstery.com. Check out some of their videos on YouTube. And you can do that by clicking my website, BobsNoWakeZone.com. We've got a link right there that goes in and shows you those YouTube videos they've produced. But they do all kinds of marine upholstery and canvas work backed by a guarantee of complete satisfaction. How do you get a hold of them? Well, here's the phone number, 573-216-7214. That's 216-7214. As we mentioned, ParadiseUpholstery.com, or check them out on Facebook or check their YouTube channel as well. Paradise Upholstery and Canvas, when duct tape just won't do. All right, back out to IBEX. Go check up on three different companies here. We're going to hear first from Caframo. They've got a new cabin fan and some other products we're going to talk about as well. Plus, Quick USA, they've got five different categories of products they provide. And then finally, we're going to talk about a diving board that's available for your boat from Lily Pads.
Jody McMullen, Strategic Account Manager for Caframo. Dwanil Shah, brand manager for Marine Consumer Products, Caframo Limited.
Okay. Well, gosh, consumer.
I know. That's why I said make him talk.
Yeah. So let's talk cooling off cabins with Caframo fans. You've got a new design out. Tell me about it.
Yeah, this new fan is completely redesigned. We've improved upon a lot of features of the previous generation. We've gone back to the drawing board to improve not just its user interface, but its performance to get lesser noise, lesser vibration, and add in a lot of features to improve its durability. And the most important of all, we got production to Canada. So we reshored this product. We wanted it to be to have like better control from a quality perspective, and we feel that this product is just probably the best cabin fan in the world.
You know, moving the air is important.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the boat and it's warm, or if it's cold and you want to circulate the heat around, you got to have a good fan like that. So in your redesign and all that, was that one of the things that was sort of the target, was to increase airflow?
For sure. So we initially started off thinking about trying to bring this product to trying to reshore it and get production to Canada. We were also thinking about how we could improve the previous generation fan. And some of the things that we were thinking about was to improve the performance, that is the airflow. Like improving the, to get lesser vibration in, to get it to be more durable than the previous generation, and to just have it quieter than the previous generation. So it's a lot of things that we took into account, and I think this delivers across all of those.
Okay, very good. All right, so I'm going to move over and talk to you a little bit. Let's talk about some of the other products that Caframo offers to the public.
Okay. Well, we have other cabin fans as well that have all different kinds of features, so they suit. There's one for everybody.
Okay.
We also have our winterization products. So we have a heater, a cabin heater. We have a engine compartment heater that keeps the engine compartment from freezing. And it's a little different than most engine compartment heaters. So it's a good one to check out. It's called the Pally. And the store dry as well for when you're storing your boats.
Yeah, keeps the air moving just a little bit, heats it up a little bit.
That's
keeps
right.
It from getting
yep.
moldy and mildewy
yep.
smelling and all that. So
that's right,
okay.
Yep.
And most are all these products available at?
They're available at distributors across North America. Retailers, they're available at everywhere that you would want
it. We talk West Marine a lot, so
yes,
I know that they've got these products.
Yes, they're available there, yes, for sure.
Okay, very good. And then if somebody wants more information off your website?
Yes, it's caframo.com.
Okay,
yep.
Caframo with a C.
That's right. Caframo with a Z.
Well, nice meeting you, Jeff. Give me your name.
Nice meeting you.
And your position here with Quick.
I'm with Quick USA, and my name is Jeff Spath, and I'm the regional sales manager for the southeastern United States.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the product that sort of got Quick started.
Well, it's really an interesting story. The company's based in Ravenna, Italy, and it's owned by two Italians, Michele Marzucco and Alfonso Peduto. They got started as technicians, just working on electronics, and then they got into air conditioning, refrigeration, and basically the whole boat. And that they started their partnership in 1983. So about 1986, they were very frustrated with battery chargers, so they made their own. And they started producing battery chargers. And then they purchased Quick from a company, and they basically were a distributor. So I guess about 1991, they started producing bow thrusters, or excuse me, windlass anchors was their real first product line. Then bow thrusters, hot water tanks, LED lighting. So there's five product categories. And we're based in Ravenna, Italy. We have we currently have an 80,000 square foot expansion going on. And we'll have a total footprint of 207,000 square feet.
Oh my gosh.
And we service the entire world, all seven continents. We have distributors everywhere. And here in the U.S., we distribute out of Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
So, and we've been here since 2006.
All right. It's amazing, you know, you talk about the start of a company and they start with one little idea and then all of a sudden, you know, it's just blossomed into this huge thing. You know, just looking at the LED light, cove here, I guess you could call this a cove.
We call it Stonehenge.
Stonehenge? Well, that's really, you've got four great big huge displays sort of tagged together with all the different styles and designs and colors and that for the LED lights, which are
to me, they're the most fascinating part of boating these days.
It's actually the last category that we got into in 2007, right before the recession, I guess the Marine Depression hit in October of 2008. So they entered this category at a very, very good time because they were able to grow this category and make up for, you know, the devastation that the whole industry went through.
So if somebody wants to look at your products, you've got a great big huge catalog, of course, but a catalog is online as well, right?
Yes, quickusa.com. Have all the categories in there, and it's actually a very nice website with a lot of technical information as well.
And the last interview in our section here comes from Corey Schwab with Lily Pads Diving Boards.
So at IBEX, we're looking at diving boards. This is kind of unusual, but this is a new product on the market?
It's new in 2014. In 2015, we won an innovation award at the Miami International Boat Show for this product for all water sports equipment. So it's been taking off. It's been very solid for us, and it's been a very, very fun product.
Now, tell me a little bit about, so our radio listeners can kind of visualize what this thing looks like, and what are the applications for? What kinds of boats can you use this on?
You can put this on virtually any boat. Any boat that has a solid, flat surface on it, be it fiberglass, aluminum, pontoon style, any one of those. And the board is designed to contain the forces, so when you jump on it, the force doesn't go to the boat. So the boat doesn't move. It's the only one of its kind ever produced, and it just changes your boat completely. It makes it so your family can go out on the water. You don't have to pull tubes all over to entertain the kids. You can throw an anchor. They'll jump for hours. And when you're done with it, less than 2 minutes, it all folds up. You can stow it away. You can carry it off the boat. It weighs 50 pounds total.
I'll be darned. So it doesn't have to be permanently attached then.
No. It's a very simple folded up package deal, 12 inches tall, fits underneath in a ski locker or in a hold somewhere. It's very easy to stow.
All right. Now, if somebody's interested in getting the world's only boat diving board, where do they go?
Lilypaddivingboards.com, or you can simply Google search boat diving board. We've got a retailers page on our website where you can see all of our retailers, and we've been adding a lot of new retailers lately.
All right. I noticed in watching your videos back here that what you're saying is it virtually could work on pretty much any kind of boat, particularly like tritunes and things, which are
absolutely perfect for. We have it on, we have several OEM pontoon manufacturers, Apex, Avalon, Caravelle, Trifecta Houseboats offers it as a factory installed option. And we've been talking with many more boat manufacturers for having this as an option on their boats.
Very cool. All right, give me your name and your company name and your website.
Corey Schaub, Lilypad, LILLIPAD, Diving Boards, lilypaddivingboards.com.
And we've really just scratched the surface on the IBEX information. We've got a lot more of those interviews to come in the weeks ahead. We've got a couple of blinking lights on the phone bank over here. And Anna Townsend is standing by to talk about Docks Expo. And we also have Pete McDonald from Boating Magazine going to join us, talk about 60 years of their magazine and 60 years of boating. As Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show rolls on this morning, in the No Wake Zone, of course. And we're listening to the show on News Talk KRMS, 1150 AM, 97.5, 104.9, KRMSradio.com, and on BoatRadio.net a little bit later.
Hi, I'm Sarah O'Kelly, founder of Skipper's Review. I started Skipper's Review because I wanted somewhere online for my local boating community to make connections and recommendations. So now it's up and running. I've been getting out of the office to enjoy the Florida sunshine and to meet some of my members. Each week, you can hear me swapping salty tales with sailors, surfers, swimmers, divers, boat owners, and builders, anyone with a story to tell about their life and their relationship with the sea. So join me, Sarah O'Kelly, with Skipper's Review on Boat Radio.
Welcome back to the show. We lost Anna Townsend during the break. She had to go take care of some business, and so we'll talk with her next week on the program, I promise. She'll be talking to us about the Docs Expo coming late November. So, Pete McDonald, you're coming up next as Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show continues. Talk about the 60th birthday of Boating Magazine. Well, somebody that's had a 50th birthday is Boat US, and I just want you to join us. Go on the website, boatus.com, or click the link on my website, and you'll find more information about all kinds of things boating, including some free training. The guys at Towboat US are all part of that action, and you can, for $72 a year, join Boat US and get unlimited freshwater towing. Call Dave Anderson, 573-216-4701. That's 216-4701, right here at Lake of the Ozarks, to become a member of the Boat US family and be secure with that safety blanket, if you will, for the towboat guys right here at Lake of the Ozarks. All right, let's find out what's been going on at the Boating Magazine headquarters. We have the second guy in command, Pete McDonald, on the Boat US guest line with us to talk about the 60 years. And a good morning to you, Pete. It's sure great to have you back on the program. How you doing?
Great, Bob. It's great to be here, and thanks again for having me on.
Well, you're very welcome. I know that, you know, the magazine itself is 60 years old, but you're not. How long have you been? How long have you been with Boating Magazine?
I have been at Boating Magazine for 18 years, which is not quite a third of its lifetime. I was just figuring out, but it's almost there. So I've been there for a lot of big changes going on in the industry of late.
You wrote a great article about the past and the present and the future of, you know, seamanship lessons in this October edition of Boating Magazine. Let's highlight a little bit of that article that you wrote. You know, the first part of it talks about navigation lights and how important they are.
Yes, yeah. Well, as the article states, a lot of developments in boating in the past 60 years, in the past 20 years, past 10 years, even 5 years, that have made boating safer than ever. But there are still some fundamental things that boaters need to know about to have a good, safe day on the water, or in this case, night. And one of them is understanding what you're seeing at night. Because as you've been out on the water at night, things that you see during the day look completely different at night. And you can be fooled if you're boating close to the coast. You can be fooled by car lights, street lights even. You can be fooled by almost any light, and that can affect your judgment. So if you don't know what you're looking at on the water in terms of navigation lights, you may not know where you're going. You may not know what represents a hazard. I boat here around the New York City area, and there's a lot of barge traffic. And sometimes at night when you're out and there's no other light around, you'll see these little lights, and if you don't know what they are, you might think, oh, I can pass by this, and then all of a sudden out of the darkness comes a giant barge. In a lot of cases, people will try to cut between the barge and the tug, not realizing there's a giant cable there because they can't see it. So that's just one case that I can think of from personal experience. But if you don't know the lights, it can get scary pretty quickly on the water at night.
They in this article, you talk about some of these previous writers that have done columns. And one of them is a gentleman by the name of Albert Robertson, and he talked about having a plan B. What does that mean?
Two things that he was talking about. One is a day on the water doesn't always go as you planned it. It's good to have an idea in mind. For instance, one of the things he was talking about, if you're the captain of your boat or you're the person in charge and something happens to you where you can't, are unable to take the helm anymore, it's good to have somebody else on board who knows how to operate your controls, knows how to use the radio, and basically knows how to get the boat home in an emergency or can call for help if needed. So his idea, which is what we preach too, is to get your crew members involved, whether it's your kids, your neighbors, friends that you've brought on board. Before you leave the dock, do a run-through of the basic controls at the helm, show them how to use the electronics, how to handle dock lines, and so forth. And also to make sure, this is one thing that I think about a lot of times when you have inexperienced boaters on board and you're approaching a dock, say you're taking them to a dockside restaurant, sometimes people will jump up to help, thinking they're helping, but they're actually causing more problems. Maybe they're trying to handle the dock lines for you, and they try to jump to the dock, or they put their hand between the boat and the dock, and the next thing you know, you've got somebody with a crunched arm or what have you. So instead of letting it be a free-for-all, before you get into that situation, assign people specific roles, saying, Steve, you handle the bow line. Joe, you handle the stern line. Everybody else sit tight. Nobody move until I say to move, and so forth. And you'll have a lot better experience, and your guests will know beforehand what to do and what not to do, so you're not having to scream at them or get into a panic situation.
Absolutely. I was watching some videos over the weekend. I don't know if you saw these or not. The fishing crews out there in the Chesapeake have this competition where they blow a horn, and then you slam your boat in gear, and you slide out, and you run down a little ways, and then you back them in real quick. It's really quite an interesting competition. And it's sort of like a mini shootout, I guess you could almost say. But in this article that you wrote, former staff writer there, Stuart Reiniger, said something about sailboats need to dock bow in, powerboats back in. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, that Chesapeake competition is pretty crazy. Those guys are real throttle jockeys. I wouldn't try that at home. But there's an old saying, slow like a pro, fast like an ass, meaning only approach the dock as fast as you want to bump into it with your boat.
That's right.
And that said, even with all of today's modern technology, joysticks, I don't know if you've used some of these joystick controls where you can kind of walk your boat sideways, which used to be only a highly skilled captain could do that, crabbing your boat side to side, but now you can do it with a joystick pretty easily. And you still need to be aware of these techniques, and he talks about a technique called warping, where you use a dock line to pivot your boat in hazardous conditions. Again, you don't want to go too fast and become Captain Crunch there.
Slow like a pro.
Yes. Slow like a pro, exactly.
Pete McDonald's our guest from Boating Magazine. We're talking about the 60th anniversary special edition of boating and some interesting fun there with seamanship. One of the other areas of the magazine which I found extremely interesting is the 60th anniversary, where you talk about the 60 great boating innovations. And we can't do all 60 of them in the time we have, Pete, but I want to just get a line or two from you from each of these. 1836, the propeller was invented. That's fairly important,
well,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that comes on the heels of transitioning from sail to power. And, of course, modern boating wouldn't exist without propeller power as we know it, because you can't push a boat through the water if you don't have those blades spinning through it.
Absolutely. You know, the first fiberglass boat was molded in 1942. That's a pretty interesting thing. And then, of course, pontoon boat was 1952. Man, those guys have a great invention, didn't they?
They sure did. It's really, pontoons have really developed. They were invented in the 50s. Actually, there are some cases of people putting together pontoons before that. It kind of became a thing right around that time. But the first production ones were the Weirs in 1952. But over the past, I'd say 10 years, pontoons have changed into something from being two tubes on the water with a plank and a small outboard, to now I've tested pontoons that are 30 feet long, 10 feet wide, triple performance tubes, and I recently tested one that had three 300 horsepower outboards on it. So that's 900 horsepower on a pontoon that could do close to 70 miles per hour. Been a great development, because pontoons are so popular, particularly in lake communities where people like to bring a large crowd on the water, and they're still great entertainment platforms. But now you can do all sorts of other things with them. So they become really versatile, interesting boats.
And if you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and look for the Lake of the Ozarks shootout video of the Tritune that we had here this past shootout that went 114 miles an hour in 1 mile.
So that's something else altogether.
That's right.
Was that a plate craft, I believe?
Yes, sir.
They have taken the performance pontoon to another level.
Very much so.
All right, Pete McDonald's our guest from Boating Magazine. And, Pete, we're going to have to hold you over through this break. We've got to take a break, and we'll be right back. We're going to talk about some of the interesting things that happened over the last 60 years in boating as we continue on Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show on News Talk KRMS, 1150 AM, 97.5 and 104.9 FM, plus on KRMSradio.com. Stand by. We will be right back.
I'm Michael John, and each month on Boat Radio, I'll be looking at life on London's magnificent River Thames, from the dredgers emptying their cargoes of sand and gravel to the mudlarks combing the shore for lost treasures. I'll be meeting the people, visiting the places, and boarding the ships that work this mighty, muddy artery. So join me, Michael John, for Tales of the Thames on Boat Radio.
This is Captain John Page Williams, Senior Naturalist, Chesapeake Bay Foundation. Thanks for listening to Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show.
We're back. Thank you for joining us and sticking around. 7:49 on Saturday morning. Pick up our conversation with Pete McDonald from Boating Magazine in just a moment. First of all, though, we got to talk about Marine Max. Right here at Lake of the Ozarks, 3070 Bagnell Dam Boulevard is their main location. You'll also find them up on Osage Beach Parkway across from the Outlet Mall. They've got a brand new showroom up there, and I know Jim and the crew there is very excited about having that open. It's a great place to view a lot of the boats that are sold by the guys there at Marine Max. Sea Ray, sport boats, cruisers and yachts, Azimuth Yachts, Harris Pontoons, Nautique Wakeboard and Wakeboard Boats. They've got the legendary Boston Whalers there as well. And they've got the complete package for you, everything start to finish, including some educational classes that are available, full-service boat yard as well. So check them out, Marine Max, two locations here at the Ozarks. You'll find them in Lake Ozark, 3070 Bagnell Dam Boulevard, or if you're out on the water, 16-mile marker. If you are up on the Osage Beach Parkway in Osage Beach, they're right across from the Outlet Mall, and you can find them also at marinemax.com. All right, we're going to bring Pete McDonald back on the Boat U.S. guest line, talk some more about 60 years of Boating Magazine and some of the great things that have happened, like this.
The first bow rider, now that's an interesting story, 1965, was that when it was?
Yes, yeah, it was 1965, and it was the famous designer Carl Moseley came up with a concept on Seacraft, which is, as you know, Seacrafts are also famous as fishing boats. It launched a new generation of boats, which I grew up in the 70s and 80s. The bow rider was kind of the family staple boat. But you look back before that, and you see a lot of, maybe you'd see tri-hulls, or you'd see the lapstrake boats. I know my dad had an old Lyman with a closed-off bow, and this just opened up a whole new area of space on the boat, which gave people more room to enjoy the water and more space. You weren't confined to a cramped cockpit. You could move about the boat a little bit more. That translates today. You see it as bow riders are getting bigger and bigger. Now there are 30-plus footers, and you see it in some of these center console designs, which are essentially acting like big bow riders, in that they're not even necessarily fishing boats, but they're almost day boats with the open bow concept. And I think that reflects how people like to use their boats more.
Absolutely.
Which also ties back to the pontoons. All this having more open space is just a very appealing thing.
Well, the first center console boat was Boston Whaler, of course, 1964. And then, of course, came the first personal watercraft in 1968. Followed in 1973 by the first stand-up jet ski.
I believe it's Kawasaki that's bringing it back, but
Well, we still got some of these stand-ups that are rolling around the lake here. And, in fact, there's one in our area around our condo that we hear and see quite often out there, the stand-ups. They were quite interesting. I think they're a little bit harder to drive, than, of course, than the sit-down personal watercrafts we know today. Another one, Pete, is the GPS. What a fantastic thing that's been for boating.
Absolutely. And when I first started at boating, Loran was still popular, and that was almost like a secret code for navigation that the expert captains knew and long-range navigators knew. And that was the radio-based system of navigation that the Coast Guard implemented. But when GPS came about, it really changed the way that regular boaters were able to navigate a lake, say, or take a trip outside the inlet. We have one of the original Magellan GPS handheld units, and it looks like what the old car phones looked like, the original cell phones that you're carrying around a brick.
Bag phone, and, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And now you can, I actually have a GPS nav system built into my smartphone, and I can navigate via chart by my phone using its built-in GPS in real time, and that's pretty impressive. Especially, I can't remember what year they turned off, the feds turned off selective availability, which was, I think it was a defense-related technology that wouldn't let, sometimes would scramble the satellite signals so it wouldn't be accurate to the degree that it is now. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was defense-related, but when they turned that off, now GPS is so accurate, you can, with a handheld device, you're within 10 feet of where the mark says you are. It's really impressive. And they've become so user intuitive that navigation has become a very easy thing to do now. You can navigate with your smartphone.
Right, very much so. Well, before we get to the thing that the boating experts there at Boating Magazine say is the number one invention in the past 60 years as far as boating is concerned, one that I think, you know, has helped boating with families so much, and that is the porta potty, the first portable marine sanitation system invented in 1968 by Thetford.
Yes, yeah, I think that... In my opinion, that's when boating officially became a family sport.
Right, yep.
Because not everybody was comfortable with the old hanging over the transom or bucket method of relieving yourself. So that really was a game changer. And I don't want to go into too much detail, but yeah, absolutely. Being able to... provide family members with an alternative method really made spending a whole day on the water a much more enjoyable thing.
All right, now let's get the trumpets to blow. Da, 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 da. What was the number in all your boating tech teams' considerations for 60 years of great innovations in boating? What did you guys say is number one?
Oh, it was a no-brainer. It wasn't even. I think every editor, every person on staff, instantly said. Ray Hunt's deep V hull designer in the number one spot. Mm. It's something that has been improved upon, but essentially not really altered. And I can't see something coming along that will take the place of the deep V hull design in recreational boating. It allowed planing boats to go faster on the water and be more comfortable in rough water. Pretty much any runabout, center console, every type of boat that you can think of in a recreational capacity employs some aspect of Ray Hunt's deep V hull design.
Absolutely. Well, some great reading there, and we only touched a little bit on some of the 60th anniversary great boating innovations for Boating Magazine. Pete McDonald's been our guest, deputy editor of Boating Magazine. Now, of course, boatingmag.com is the website. Or you can certainly log on and get a subscription so you get the full-blown color magazine, and I urge you to do it. It's one of the best. Pete, thanks again. We do appreciate it, and best another 60 years to you guys.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here, Bob, and anytime.
Hello, this is Chris Edmondson, president of the Boat U.S. Foundation for Boating Safety and Clean Water. Thanks for listening to Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show.
Going boating alone can be relaxing and peaceful. The weather is nice, the fish are biting, and there's no one around for miles.
I got the bite of a lifetime, and without thinking, I stood up to reel it in. But in all the excitement, I lost my balance. I fell in and gasped. No worries, because I was wearing a life jacket, and my life was saved.
Your involuntary gasp reflex could cause you to drown. Life jackets worn, nobody mourns. Learn more at pleasewearit.com.
On my boat again, I just can't wait to get on my boat again. The life I love is going boating with my friends, and I can't wait to get on my boat again.
Gonna be on my boat again a little bit later today. Go out and take a look at some of the trees around Lake of the Ozarks as the fall colors start to come out. Hope you have a good weekend. We thank you so much for being with us today. I want to thank our sponsors as well. Marine Max, Boat US, Towboat US, The Shirt Shop, also Paradise Upholstery and Canvas, and our good friends at Hydro Hoist Boat Lifts. And we want to thank our guest today on the program, Pete McDonald, and happy birthday to everybody at Boating Magazine. Thanks for sharing all that information with us today, Pete. We sure appreciate talking with you. We also want to thank all of our IBEX folks that were on board with us earlier in the show. We had folks from Caframo, Jeff Spath over there at Quick USA, the Lily Pads, the diving boards for pontoon boats and stuff. Corey Schwab was there with us as well. And we also want to thank Kevin Ritz, ABYC trainer, for opening up the program today. Well, have a great weekend. We'll see you next weekend and same time, same boat channel right here on News Talk KRMS for Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show. Stand by, USA Financial, The Fishing Show, Lanai Hour, and Ask the Computer Expert with my good friend Ray Bookley coming up at 11. Stay right here with us, will you? Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.